Today's message is called Facile. I have a question for all of you. Raise your hand if you know what that word means. No one knows. I think Grant raised his hand back there, but I don't believe him. So, Rod. Rod raised his hand. Nice. So I want to start off by just giving you an idea. I have a definition. Oh, see that? Look at it. The notes already fell. What did I tell you guys? I knew something was going to fall. Ugh. Getting off to a great start. Yes, I have a definition for you guys for facile. Now, before I tell you this, because the definition is actually especially of a theory or an argument, but as soon as I heard this word and I saw the definition, I thought, this is about faith and Christianity. It fits. It is appearing neat and comprehensive only by ignoring the true complexities of an issue. Ooh. Please repeat. I got you. Appearing neat and comprehensive only by ignoring the true complexities of an issue. Yeah. You guys can see why I was like, that's Christianity. That's what we do. That's church. Anyways, this word stuck out to me, and I was like, man, this is going to be a message for sure. Now, when I heard this word, you know, I do my best. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I can have times where, like, you know, I can tend to think, like, oh, man, like, that's the church. But then I was like, okay, I need to slow down and think about myself for a second, because at the end of the day, I can only control me. How does this apply to me? So I decided to reflect on it, and I thought about, you know, where am I at in my life right now? How's my faith doing? And I kind of came up with why facile, the idea of being facile, affected me. God's truth is not aligning with how I live. That was the first thing that came to my mind. I claim this, right? I claim to believe in Christ. I claim to believe that he died for my sins. I claim to believe a new creation, yet I don't live that way. I live a lot of how I used to live, the old me, the old man. I talk the talk, but I do not walk the walk. I'm sure if you guys have been alive for 10 minutes in this world, you know what that means. So I claim something, but I don't really stand by it. I like to talk about it, but man, I don't. If you were to look at my life, you know, put a camera on me for a week, you'd probably go, that guy does, what is, he talks about Jesus like on like Sundays. I live the regular Christian life. Go to church. If you're familiar with the Remnant, if you remember here anything, I see folks on Wednesday. Wednesday's a big meeting day for everybody. Everyone's here. So go to church on Sunday. I see folks on Wednesday, and then see you on Sunday. I realized I wasn't really actually talking to God either. You know, we talk about, hey, what's one way that you can get closer to the Lord? Prayer. I've talked about it many times up here, right? And yet I walk off. I can either walk off the stage, I can walk out of the sanctuary on any other Sunday, and you know what I don't do? Pray. I can go, man, I'm on fire. I love the message. Let's have a good week. Monday rolls around, don't do a single thing with faith. It's crazy how that works, isn't it? We're very fickle. Facile. I realized that I was not talking about actual life. And what do I mean by that? For a long time, I'm able to, I don't know about you guys if you can relate to this, but I can just kind of adapt to things and make them normal in my head, even if they're not. So say, surface level relationships. I'm a guy who actually likes to talk, but I can very easily slip into the idea of like, hey, how's it going? Good, cool. That's it. Doesn't go any farther than that. That's not life, and I think you guys know that too. I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but man, there can be days, there can be weeks where I can see so many people, and that's as far as I go in a conversation. How's it going? Good. Cool. I'm going to go sit in my chair and play some Steam. Steam's video games, if you guys don't know what Steam is. I just learned about it. It's fun. but it makes me check out pretty easy, so I gotta watch myself on it. And autopilot. We talk about that a lot. I realized that I was on autopilot. I still am an autopilot. It's very easy for me to become in that mode of just like, you know what, man? I wake up, I do work, I eat, I sleep, I do it again. Nothing in between. Nothing's going on up here. Well, that's what I tell myself anyway. There's actually so much going on up here. But I don't actually slow down enough to let myself even want to process or think about that. I wasn't really living in a true acknowledgement of God. And what I mean by that is, I've been not living like how, like this is real. We are serving the same God that split the sea. I wasn't living in that. I didn't wake up and go, Lord, you split the sea, clearly you can deal with my anxiety. I don't ever say that. When I'm with me and just God, I'm either silent or I'm going, Lord, please help me. I mean, sure, that can be, you know, maybe that's all you need to say sometimes, but if that's all you're saying all the time, which is what I was doing, like, are you actually talking to him or are you just doing like the checklist prayer? Well, I did that. Maybe he's going to bless me today. Bless you. What you really want, you just want to, you want him to give you what you want on your time. That's what it is. I get it, though, because that's where I was at. And eventually, when he doesn't give you what you want on your time, you just stop talking to him. I was living in a really big state of denial. Still do a lot of the time. You guys ever seen that meme of the dog where like there's a fire behind him and it just says like everything's fine? You guys ever seen that meme? Nice meme culture. I'm hip. No. I'm about to turn 30, so I got to try to remain I'm having a midlife crisis, okay? I got to try to remain as hip as I can. But yes, I am that meme, man. Like, I could be having, like, the worst day, the worst week, the worst month, and, like, I know everything's on fire around me, and I'm just like, it's fine. Just don't look at it. It's not there. And the reason why I'm able to do that is because I've managed to find a lot of comfort and delusion. I realize that I can tell myself something that's not reality and do it so often that I'm like, it's real. Isn't it funny that we can do that so easy, but we don't believe that God is real? We can create all these little fake things in our lives to make us feel better about ourselves or feel better about our situations. But then we're like, oh, I claim this guy, you know, I claim to believe in Christ who literally, you know, died, rose from the dead, you know. But you know, he knew we were going to be this way. That's why he said, man, you wouldn't believe if a man raised from the dead. Punches me, man. We get justified in our isolated, one-sided minds. That's what I do sometimes, man. Sometimes I tell myself things, even though I think if I were to slow down enough, I would realize that I am wrong in a lot of things. But instead of taking the time to actually go, okay, I need to deal with that I'm wrong in this, I just don't say anything, and I justify it in my own mind. And then I'm just in my own personal echo chamber of justification. Because I know, I don't know about you guys, if I tell a single person about this, they know, they're like, what are you doing? That's wrong. And then I got to deal with it. So then I stay in that little echo chamber in your justification. We make excuses for ourselves, right? Life's hard. It is hard. I have kids. A lot of people do. I have wounds. So does everybody else. Now, here's the thing. That doesn't make those things not real. It doesn't make life any easier. It doesn't make life harder. It just means that we're all in a situation that is unique, and that's why we must bear with each other. But that's a funny thing, is how would we ever bear with each other if we're not willing to actually talk to each other and get out of that mindset of making excuses, being in that chamber? Denial comes from pride, too. We've got a lot of pride. We care more about how we look. We care more about how we are perceived. We care more about the possibility, not even the reality, just the possibility that someone may think you're dumb, the possibility that someone may think that you're wrong, someone might make fun of you, all these things. We listen to those things so often. Me too. It's kind of a form of denial. We're not real. We are denying the faith that we claim to believe in. So how does that affect our faith? I've heard this before. If you're being honest with yourselves, especially maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, maybe you've only been a Christian for a little while, but I've been a Christian since I was 20, 21 years old, about to be 30. So 9 years. And I know for me, throughout these 9 years of being saved, I have said that in my mind. Even though we're warned several times, hey, it's like what Todd says, take those Christian earmuffs off, throw them aside. Eventually, you leave them on, and you think you take them off. But I'm saying the same thing, too. I've heard this before. Maybe in your mind, you don't directly say that, but you're thinking that way. Maybe it's not, I've heard this before, but maybe it's, oh yeah, man, I do that. I'm good. It's justifications. It makes you zone out. It makes you check out because you think you've already got it together in this specific area. I don't feel like it. Listen, if there's one guy that doesn't feel like it, it's me, and I live in it a lot. I'll be honest with you. If I don't feel like doing something, man, I don't do it a lot of the time. Probably about 10%, maybe 15%. If I don't feel like doing something, I'll do it. I'm just gonna be being true, just honest with you. Now, I know I don't like to brag about that clearly, but it's true. And that's something that I know I gotta deal with. And I know that I'd imagine I'm probably not alone in that. That's why I bring it up. And that's something that I think a lot of, especially Christian culture, American Christianized culture, right? If you don't feel like doing it, well, then that's just, God wouldn't do that. He wouldn't tell me to do that. He'd want me to feel good about it. Are you reading the Bible? There's nowhere in that book that says, man, hey, wait till you feel good to do this thing. Not at all. We ignore sin. We ignore sin in ourselves, and we ignore sin in others. Because again, it's not comfortable. We call it looking in the mirror, right? Facing that part of yourself. That part of you that doesn't want to repent. That part of you that you have sinned and you don't want to deal with it. Crazy part is once again, if you go back and you actually look at what Jesus is telling us, man, he's saying, listen, I need you to look at that mirror because you're going to realize it ain't bad. Like, I've covered it. You need to let go of it so you can keep walking. I'm not making you look at this mirror to have you break down and fall on the ground and never move again. No, he's telling you to look in the mirror so you can acknowledge the fact that you've done these things, and he's going, hey, I still love you. Never left you. We justify our behaviors a lot, too. Take even, say, the idea of autopilot. You get into this mindset of being on autopilot, and before you know it, like I said, you're not praying, you're not reading, but you justify it, right? I'll do it later. That's a big one. honestly, I'm starting to realize that when you say tell yourself you're going to do something later, not only are you probably not going to do it, but to me that's kind of like a mindset of justification for yourself, because you can always tell yourself, man, I'm going to do it later, with the intent of doing it. Maybe you even believe you're actually going to do it, because I've said that. I've actually meant, yeah, I'm going to do that later, and then I don't do it. But I'm still justifying to myself that, hey, this thing is not important enough to do right now. Even if, say, it's pray for somebody. That's gross. I don't know about you guys, but I'll admit it even right now. I've told people, I'm going to pray for that, and then I don't. All I got to do is go right there, boom, pray, and don't do it sometimes. We get so caught up in ourselves. We're so worried. We're so worried about our situations. We're so worried about what it looks like. We don't want people to think that we suck. We don't want people to think that we're gross. We don't want people to think that we do sin, even though we all sit in this room together and go, hey, Jesus died because of our sins. But then, you know what? Nobody sins, though. I mean, listen. I mean, that's why we have altar, right? I'm just going to be honest for a second. Like, listen, I don't tell you this to, like, look down on you, because I do the same thing. I've sat back at that streaming station many times and went, yeah, man, there's sin in my life. Oh, I'll just stay here. I'm doing stuff. I'm not doing anything, honestly, you know? So I'm with you. But what's faith? What are we doing? Why come here, honestly? If you're going to sit here in these chairs every week and act like, man, you know what? I believe that God's real. I believe Christ died for me, man. I believe that I was a sinner saved by grace. Okay, cool, man. Do you think that you still sin then? You'll tell yourself you sin, and you'll deal with that yourself. But you don't take the steps to actually heal. This all plays into this word. You forget Christ. He becomes just like a symbol. It's like a pin. It's like a cause you like. A club. Whatever you want to call it. I'll stick my Jesus pin on so people can see it. Look at me, I'm saved. Ah, you know? But at the end of the day, it's more fake than anything, because you're wearing this pin representing him. But you haven't done a single thing that week or whatever time you want to judge it by. I always use a week because we meet here once a week. But that whole week, you didn't do a single thing for him. And you know what's crazy? You go a whole week, maybe it's multiple weeks, however long you want to, that's in your head, without doing a single thing for him, and man, he isn't even mad at you. Isn't that crazy? But then we're fearful. You don't pray, you don't read, and this is a big one, you don't love. Those moments when I see a message come through on Slack, or when I see a message come through on Facebook Messenger, or whatever I'm on, and someone says, man, I need prayer for this. And if I decide to look at that message, and then I go, yep, I'm going to do it, and then I don't, I'm not loving that person. Not. Because once again, I can tell myself every excuse in the world. I'm going to do it later. I'll pray as soon as I'm done tying my shoe. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm not loving that person. We don't love people. The message here, once again, the message is love here. This whole entire reason why we're here is based on love, real love. But we walk out those doors and we don't love people. We're more worried about our schedules. We're more worried about our anxiety. We're more worried about our job. We're more worried about our money. We're more worried about all these things. Keep throwing it at the wall. Convenience. You like convenience. So do I. I love fast food. Be honest with you, I'm a fast food fiend. And it's funny, man. Sometimes you can look at things in your life and realize it's kind of a symbol. And that's one of them, even for me, right? I love convenience. I grew up eating fast food. That means I didn't have to cook. Cooking takes time. I want my food. I want it now. I want them chicken nuggets, man. If you know me, I love chicken nuggets. But it's true. I want it, and I want it now. So that means, applying it to our faith, that if I have to walk and go maybe tell someone I'm mad at them, well, that takes effort, man. That takes discomfort. That takes me having to go do something that's not convenient for my life. I got all these other things going on. Praying for somebody. Apply it to any part of faith. You don't want to do it because it's inconvenient. And this leads me to for a scripture of the day. It's James 1:22. You can open up to it if you'd like. It's going to be on the screen. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Oh. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What I just talked about, right? There it is. There's your proof. You need it? There it is. You claim you believe in this book? There it is. What does this mean about church? We go to church, right? I have members here at the Remnant, you know, you come here every week. Some of you. Some of you need to get that attendance up, man. You gotta get to church, man. It's good for you. But what does this mean about church? Whether you go here consistently or not, we take it for granted. We do. You've probably heard this story a lot, but it's real. There is people in this world, take China, who literally, it's illegal to have a Bible. They cannot gather like we can. They can't, right now, in this moment, they cannot come into a building like we can and talk about Christ. They can't do that. They will get arrested. And I've heard stories, and I've also read articles. Like, they get arrested for like 3 years if they're caught doing a worship service. Like, if they show any sign of Christianity, man, they're locked up for 3 years. But yeah, we sit here, and we can do it freely. We take it for granted. We don't consider church important, even though the Bible says, do not neglect to gather together. We don't think it's important still. We think football is more important because it's on a Sunday. Go Colts. Go Lions. We got other things to do, right? You got Sunday morning brunch with your buddies because you got drunk Saturday night. I've been there. Wake up overhung. Hangover. Good golly. Woke up, you're hungover, right? Sunday morning brunch, man, right? Got to eat it off. How's that working out for you? Yeah? Once you woke up from the drunken stupor, you realize life's still real, isn't it? Feelings came back. Been there. Faith is for Sunday attitude. You'll come here and you'll be all about God. You'll be all about Christ. Excited. You'll worship. Throw your hands in the air. Come up for prayer even maybe. Kneel at the altar. Do whatever you got to do. But it's only for Sunday. As soon as you're out of these doors, as soon as it's Monday, it's gone. You don't care about it anymore. You don't want to think about it. You want to care about how you feel. Lots of churches are going to look the same. That's another way of what that means. What that verse means is a lot of churches are going to look the same, not in a good way. If you came here for a considerable amount of time, you'd know that one of the missions here at this church is we want to be different. We want to be a church that follows the Bible. We want to be a church that people look at and go, that's different. That's cool, man. But it's pretty easy to slip into normalcy. It's pretty easy to slip into regular culture. You can come to church your whole life and you can look the part. That's scary. You can come here for the next 20, 30, 40 years, do the same thing, have a Sunday-only attitude. And maybe we can't tell your heart. Maybe the people around you can't see, but he can. He can. What else does this mean about church? It means that there is a very real and probable chance you justify an actionless faith. I come to church, man. I go to church. What else do you want? I give money, man. What else do you want? I serve on a team. What else do you want? Somebody can do the exact same thing as somebody else, and they mean entirely different things. There's a story of a woman in the Bible who gives her last penny, essentially, to giving. And the Pharisees, who were giving them so much money, said, ha, look at all we gave. And Jesus says, she gave everything. Same action, different meaning. So what do we as believers? We claim the name, we're saved. What do we tend to justify in our lives? We don't repent of sins. We repent. We say we're sorry. But do we actually take into account what we've done? I know what you're thinking. You want me to beat myself up? No, man. You're still thinking about yourself. You have to be willing to look at what you are naturally. Without Christ, and even with Christ, you still have a sinful nature. Are you willing to repent of that? Are you willing to be repentant for the rest of your life? Because at the end of the day, he already told us, man, all have sinned and fallen short, and we're going to keep doing it. The standard's perfection. You're not going to wake up and do that. Not a single time. From this moment on, for the rest of your life, you're not going to have a perfect day. We don't confess sins either. Like I said, we come and we gather, we sit in these seats, and then we go, oh, yeah, man. Yeah, we got to confess sins, but then, like, no one will come pray. No one will actually come up here and take a step, have courage, have conviction of faith. No one will actually come up here and say, Lord, I need you. I need to get this off my chest because I don't want it anymore. You don't do that. We don't actually take biblical steps to protect ourselves. What do I mean by that? There are steps in the Bible. There are processes that are put there for a reason that we don't follow. Why do you think the Bible tells you that if you've sinned against somebody, that they should come to you or you should go to them? He makes it both ways. Why do you think he does that? Because he knows how easy it is for us to justify to ourselves to, one, either not tell someone we're upset, or two, that if we think we've done something to someone, that we don't want to go because of pride, discomfort, fear, all these things. He made it both ways because he knows, man, if I give it one way, they're going to use that other way to justify their whole lives not do anything. We justify hateful attitudes. We justify it, right? Well, hey, man, I don't drink. I don't get drunk. I don't do drugs. But, man, I'll judge the guy who does. All sin's the same, man. God looks at it all the same. We think we're better than each other. We do. And all these other, these little subtle ways that you, that either you're doing subconsciously, though I don't think it's as subconscious as you think. You just don't like the fact that you're that way. You don't like the fact that you can naturally look down on somebody. Arrogance. We justify arrogance because somehow thinking you're better than somebody is better than watching pornography. Look down on that guy. Well, I don't do that. Yet you don't realize that the one who claims they see are the ones who are blind. And that guy who's struggling with that, girl, whoever it is, they're sitting there confessing to these things, and you want to look down on them because they're living in faith while you sit there and you arrogantly don't live in your faith? You wonder why you're miserable. Which leads me to my next point. There's a lack of humility. You think you've arrived. Hey, you know what, man? I put in my time. You know what, man? I prayed for that guy at the gas station 3 years ago. Man, that was pretty powerful. I'm talking to myself, actually. It's a real story of my life. When I first got saved, I used to live in Fort Wayne. I used to drive here to Columbia City to come to church. I used to drive an hour to come here. Anyways, it was late, about 3 or 4 in the morning. I stopped to get gas at the gas station in Fort Wayne. Homeless guy came up. You know, I was like, I don't have a lot of money. I still gave money anyway. I prayed for the guy. He cried. It was a powerful moment in my life. But you know what's funny? I can use that to justify not doing it now. Look at that moment I had. What a cool thing. Yeah, man, I put my time in. I was bold. Yet I realized, why am I miserable? Why would I be miserable? It's because I'm looking back at the past and I'm like, I'm not moving now. I'm justifying something I did in the past to excuse the fact I've stopped, I've hit a wall. I don't want to go through that, but I can go, huh, that didn't work. Look at that. You don't want to humble yourself to make yourself be even open to the idea of looking dumb. That was a little wordy. If there's a possibility that you may look dumb in a situation, if there's a possibility that you may make somebody upset, if there's a possibility that you think someone's going to judge you, you won't do it. Even if the God who created you, the God that you claim to believe in, tells you to do it, you don't do it. But you also claim to follow him. I'm a follower. You follower or you fan? We justify not giving. You people love your money. And I get it. Me too, man. Money makes the world go round, right? Got to put in my hours. I got to grind so I can eat my cheeseburgers. So I can play my Steam. Man, how dare God make us give $5? And you want to talk about humility? Maybe you're in a situation where all you can give is $5, but you'd rather not give anything because you think that's embarrassing to give $5. How crazy is that? Yes. How crazy is that? Open the Bible. She gave like a penny. Great faith you had. But no, you know better, right? Well, it doesn't apply to me. I'm too embarrassed. Man. We justify not loving, like I said earlier. We get so used to, we love people. So, you know, when you don't cuss that person out when you're driving, you consider that loving somebody. When you hold a door open for somebody, you can consider that loving somebody. That's common courtesy, man. The world does that. You're out of this world. Why don't you do something radical? Why don't you go sit next to that person that no one's sitting next to? Why don't you go talk to that dude that everyone says is crazy? That guy that's sitting by himself, that girl who's sitting by themselves, who you see the pain in their eyes because you know they're going through it, whatever it is. Why don't you go love them? Go say, hey, how you doing? Hey, it's going to be okay. It's uncomfortable. Won't do it. Man, you wonder why you're miserable. You wonder why you feel like life is empty. It's because you're denying the living water, man. And unfortunately, man, he's not gonna force it down your throat. You can accept this, but if you can accept this and then just sit. You can take a sip of that water and then sit there if you want. And he's not gonna move you. He'll tell you to follow. Hey, come on, let's get going. But he'll let you sit there. It's your choice. We're not forgiving. We don't forgive well. Me either, man. I still hold on to crap. I do. Whether it's from my past life or even now. Whether someone said something to me, whether somebody said something, you know, maybe even somebody just implied something, maybe someone just said something off the cuff that honestly didn't even probably apply to me, but I took it as it did. I hold on to it. Or we say, that's one thing we're good at here. Someone will say something to you. Someone will apologize. We'll go, I forgive you immediately. You didn't even think about it. Did you actually forgive them? Did you make the conscious decision to forgive them in that moment? Or are you just, forgive you. My faith says this, I forgive you. I'm supposed to do this, I forgive you. But then you walk away and like, I don't know, an hour later, you're like, I can't believe they said that. It's got to be a conscious decision to forgive somebody. You can't just spout that off. That's not how that works. Now, if you struggle with it, that makes sense, okay? But are you talking to people about it? You're not. There's a difference. Again, we justify. Well, I'm struggling with it. Okay, man, you're struggling with forgiving somebody? Yeah, you talking to somebody about it? Oh, you're not? No, of course. Because, again, you think you can handle it yourself, and you think that you're doing enough by struggling with it in your own mind. Processes. He's put them in place. Use them. Faith. Just reminded myself of SpongeBob. Imagination. Instead of doing a Creed reference, I use SpongeBob. This leads me to my next verse. It's Matthew 15:8. It's up on the screen if you don't get there. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's what we've been talking about. That's what we've been talking about this whole time. I will claim the name. I will shout it on the mountaintops. But man, as soon as he tells me to do something, I'm out. A lot of times, man, our faith can just be a show. It can be. It can be that pin I talked about. You stick that Christian pin on, and you think that people are going to go, look at that, it's a good guy, it's a good girl, good woman. Look at that pin they have. Man, they must be having it all together. You know what's crazy about this verse? It's actually something I didn't realize. So Matthew 15:8 is actually Jesus quoting Isaiah 29:13. It's a direct quote from Isaiah 29:13. I should have had you put up Isaiah 29:13 too. Dang it. It's okay. The reason why I bring that up, though, is because this is direct proof that we are battling the same issues all these years later. All those people then were doing the same thing we're doing now. Humanity hasn't changed from its core problems. Why do you think we call it the living word? Because everything you hear about then, it applies to now. When you think about that, let that sink in. We are dealing with the same problems that those people dealt with back then. God's got patience, man. He loves you a lot. He's loved them from then. He's loved us till now with the same problem. You guys can't deal with the same issue for 10 minutes. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Is that you? Do you honor him with your lips? Do you say, Christ, you are Savior, you are good? But then, at the end of the day, when you're by yourself and no one's looking, do you really believe? Are you living in that belief? Maybe you do believe it, but you aren't doing anything with it. Where are you at? So how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel nervous? Make you feel scared? Is he going to strike you down? Here's the thing. Nobody's above it. Nobody. I don't care who you think the greatest believer in the world is. They're not above what I just quoted. What can that look like in believers? Public imagery. How do you look to everybody else? Are you a different person here than you are at home? What secret sins you got going on? What's the thing you don't want to tell anybody about? What's that thing that maybe your wife or your husband knows about, but you've made those implications, you better not tell anybody about that. Pretty powerful story that I heard. There was a guy who was a deacon. He was a deacon in his church for over 20 years, if I remember correctly. I'm sure some of you have heard this story too. He was a deacon for over 20 years in his church. A deacon, a man of high honor, a leader. At home, he told his wife, don't read the Bible around me. Don't read this Bible here. Don't pray. I don't want to hear any of it. For 20 years, this guy went to church, was a leader. And his wife knew this man as someone entirely different at home. By God's grace, what's cool is it turned into a ministry eventually because he finally accepted Christ. He actually accepted Christ. And now they have a ministry together where they go around and they talk about that. It's pretty cool. He can redeem whatever's going on in your life right now. Amen. You live double lives. Secret agent, man. You do. You come here, you worship, you listen to the message, you go eat food with everybody, and that's awesome, man. I love it. I'm glad you guys are here. I don't tell you this stuff because I want you to run away. I actually tell you this stuff because I want you to keep coming because you need this. But with that being said, you do live double lives. And you know what's funny? It actually wouldn't even be considered a double life if you just told people about your life, if you confessed sins to one another. It wouldn't be a double life anymore. But because you're so caught up in thinking what people are going to think about you, if people are going to leave you, if people are going to do this, they're going to do that, you'd make it a double life. You come here and you put on your Christian mask, but then as soon as you're out those doors, you throw that off, man, and you go over, I don't know, man. You go to the bowling alley, you're smoking the joint. You're flicking the roach, right? You're sipping on the Coors, but are you really sipping it? Nah, man. You're 4, 5, 6 in. And you're going, oh, F this, F that, man. I'm trying to blend in, right? Because you're cool. It's not cool, man. It's not. And then you wonder, again, why you're so miserable with your lives. You're literally living two different lives. Do you know how stressful that is? You know how hard that is to keep up so no one sees it? You're constantly juggling. Well, man, say, oh, I'll put myself in a situation. Use the same analogy, man. I come here, I worship, I go to the bar, whatever, right? Nothing wrong with going to a bar, by the way. You can. I think it's good. People need to be loved. Jesus loves sinners. Anyways, I go to the bar, right? I'm smoking the reefer. Listen. I was trying to think of a word to say. Reefer is the first thing that came to mind. The reason why I use that is because, like, you can smoke cigarettes. I get it. Like, people smoke cigarettes all the time. Is it bad for you? Yes. Is it a sin? I don't think so. I just go, why are you doing that? Used to smoke, by the way. But, okay, cool. I come here, I do this, I go there, I'm doing that, I'm getting drunk, I'm talking all this crap, I'm just letting loose. And then all of a sudden, one of you guys walk in. Oh, now what? You wonder why your life is so stressful and why you're so miserable. Because in that moment, two worlds collide. And now you're going, what do I do? Do I run away? Which is what you do. You'll try to cover it up. Go hide in the bathroom, lock the door, hope to God that person leaves, right? You're not being free. You think you're being free because somehow you've convinced yourself that that's more fun and you actually think you're living real life doing that. But it's not. That's what I mean, though. You guys would rather stress yourselves out almost to death because you'd rather do everything you need to do, almost anything possible, to hold up that facade of Christianity. You'd rather look like a Christian than be a Christian. And that's the funny part. You would rather only look like a Christian for other Christians. Because as soon as you're away from other Christians, man, you don't want that. You'll throw that mask on the ground, stomp on it. And you'll just be you, right? It's the real me. Okay. You manipulate scriptures. Maybe you memorize something, but man, it's way out of context. You're using it as a weapon. You'll use it to justify how you act. You'll use it to justify your hurt. You'll use it to justify whatever you want to justify. And you know what's crazy? You can probably find stuff in the Bible that when you take it out of context, you can make yourself look right. You probably can. But once again, sure, you can feel like you won. Maybe you won a little battle with somebody who maybe isn't reading the Bible like they should be. Maybe you can justify the fact you won a little battle with someone that doesn't know God at all with your justification of scriptures. But you know who you ain't winning against? God, because he knows what you're doing. You refuse to follow biblical teachings. It's pretty straightforward, man. What I just said earlier. Hey, if you have a problem with somebody, what should you do? Everyone can go to them. Yeah, you're right, but you don't do it. You refuse. You refuse to follow what Jesus told you to do. Or, even better, you refuse to do it because someone's telling you to. That's between me and God. Yeah, okay, man. Yeah, maybe if that guy had a bigger beard, I'd listen to him. I don't know. It's because I just shaved. I don't know. This leads me to 2 Timothy 3:5. Holding to the form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people. You know what's funny? Somehow, because you're here today, because you've been here a lot, you don't qualify for that. This is one of those moments where you go, that's not me. Is it? Is it? Somehow, some way, almost everybody right now, you've all made a justification, a reason why that doesn't apply to you. Do you want to know why? Because it requires true humility to recognize that. It requires true humility to take that verse and even think about the idea of, like, if this is me, oh boy, man, I need to do something. This also means that it's possible to appear holy. You can look the part. You can appear clean. You can even get dunked in water. Some of you are going, what do you mean? What I'm telling you is that you can be baptized and not saved. That's what I'm telling you. You can do all the right things, but if your heart isn't in it, God doesn't want it. He backs you in a corner, man. That's why you know, it's funny. When people say other religions, for example, they're like, man, like your God's not real. I'm going, how do you think our God isn't real? He's the only God that tells you all the bad. He tells you how much you need him. Everyone else is like, live a good life, be pure, have a good heart, and man, you get all the good food, and you, I don't know, man, like, you get a happy life, nothing ever goes wrong. It's like, that's not realistic. What are you talking about? The God, the only true God, he's like, listen, man, you're in trouble, you need me. And here's all the ways that you need me. And here's all the ways you're going to have to fight, crawl, and battle your entire life to follow me. I don't know if any other religions that talk about that. You can do the right thing, but if your heart isn't actually in it, man, God doesn't care. He doesn't want that. He wants your heart, man. He doesn't want your actions. You can't earn nothing. I don't care how much you give. I don't care how much you serve in this church. I don't care, man. If your heart is bad, he doesn't want your service. He doesn't want your money. He wants you. He wants your heart. That's what he wants. Because when you give him your heart, everything follows. It's rules versus spirit. Sometimes you guys care more about rules. You gotta dunk them 3 times. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You'd rather care more about the possibility of someone's not saved because they didn't get dunked 3 times in water rather than, I don't know, man, maybe love somebody today. Why don't you ask someone how they're really doing? You'd rather worry more about that. At the end of the day, what this really means is only God knows where you're really at. He's the only one. You can have friends, sure. Friends can know you. But at the end of the day, still, you can still fake it. You can. Unfortunately, yes, we have a Holy Spirit that can be discerning, but you can still deny, 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 deny until the day you die. And you can look the part, and people can think you're a part of this. People can think you're in the kingdom when you're not, and that's horrifying. That should scare you, man. It scares me. You can try and fool yourself into thinking you're healed when you haven't given your true ugliness to God. You'll give 25%. It's like an iceberg. You see just the tip sticking out of the water, but you don't see all of it underneath the surface. But because you think you gave the tip of the iceberg to God, you think you're healed. Because you're not willing to look that deep. You don't want to. That's what he wants. He wants you to finally face all the crap you do. He wants you to finally face all the disgusting things you do, only to tell you, I'm still here. That's all he wants you to do. He doesn't do it to shame you. He doesn't do it to kick, to make you, cast you away. He doesn't do any of that. He just wants you to say it. Why? Because he can go, hey, kid, I'm still here. I love you. You ready to serve me now? Let's go. Why do you think Jesus told the Samaritan everything she did? She lied, right? He said, you've had 5 husbands. And she went, because once again, that's probably the worst thing she ever did, right? But you know what's cool? She was the first person he revealed to be the Savior. How crazy is that? She was already a Samaritan woman. People didn't like her. Samaritans, for those of you who don't know, they were hated. They were outcasts. He went to her, the risen Savior of the world, the guy who died for all your sins. The first person he publicly revealed as being the Savior to was her. How crazy is that? What does that mean for you? Luke 12, 2 to 3. It's up on the screen if you can't get there. There is nothing covered that won't be uncovered. Nothing hidden that won't be made known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in an ear in private rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Once again, you think you can run away from this? If you claim to believe in this, you think you can act a certain way? You think you can say things a certain way? You think you can go live this separate life outside of here and think it's going to be okay? Yeah, man, you can do it if you want, but you're not running from him. You know what I like about that verse? Even though it's kind of scary, there's actually some hope in it. There is. Because what does he say? Whatever was in the dark, I'm bringing it to light. Those things you don't want to deal with, those things that you don't want to say, those things you don't want to confess, he's going, hey, listen, I already know. There's nothing you can do to hide it. Come to me. Follow me. I'll tell you what to do, and you can be free. It's just a matter of if you really want to be free. You can fool everyone around you your whole life, except God. Those secret sins, I call them secret. They're not. They are seen. At the end of the day, this is hard for some of us to deal with. You're more scared than men than of God. You care more about we than him. We will sing Waymaker. We will sing Miracle Worker. We will sing Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. But do you really believe it? That song came to my mind when I thought about all this. Man, think about those words you sing, man. Do you believe it? What is true freedom? It's not the cage you're living in, I'll tell you that much. These justifications you make, the excuses you make, the discomfort you live in, the anxiety. Man, you wonder why you're anxious. It's because you're living two lives, man. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Do you believe that? Are you here to play church, or are you here to be church? Are you here to play Christian, or are you here to be Christian? Are you here to be a fan, or are you here to follow? Which one are you? Confess your sins to one another and you'll be healed. You willing to make yourself uncomfortable today? You willing to? You willing to lay down your pride? You willing to lay down that insecurity that people are going to judge you? It doesn't matter. He wants it. Quit being scared of man. Follow him. Are you willing to shatter your own comfortable fake reality that you've built? Because sometimes that's what we need. The Matrix, it's powerful. I've only seen like half of it. but I've been told about it a lot. It's a powerful idea though, right? These people are in this fake world. They get the choice. A lot of them choose to be in that fake world. And eventually it becomes so normal they don't even realize they're in it anymore. Is that you? Are you in your own matrix right now? This reality you've created that's not even real? You don't even know who you are anymore? You don't remember why you do this? You don't remember why you're sitting in that seat, maybe? You know what's interesting about that verse, by the way? This is something that hit me hard. It said you may be healed. Isn't that interesting? You may be healed. Why? Why may be healed? Because if you confess with your lips, you have to believe in your heart. When you confess sin, when you ask for prayer, do you believe it will heal you? You have to believe it. You have to. I think that's why it says may be healed. Because it's going, yeah, man, once again, you can do what I tell you to do. But if you don't believe it, nothing's going to change, man. You're not going to be healed. Once again, you think you can even do the part? You can even look courageous. You can come up here today. What I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you, hey, guys, you willing to confess your sins to one another? And you go, you know what, man? Yeah, I'm willing to, but it's only just because it'll make me look cool. There's even a cool culture in Christianity. Yeah, I mean, I confess sin. Cool, man, do you believe it heals you? Because I'm telling you right now, man, I'm starting to think that if you don't actually believe it heals you, you're not going to be healed. That's why I said earlier, you can be baptized all you want, man. You actually change? Do you believe? I can go dunk Jimmy Random Face. I can go dunk him and say, man, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you're saved. And the guy's going, what the frick are you doing? He's not saved. He doesn't believe. Same thing, man. If you confess your sins, do you really believe that you're healed? I don't know about you guys, man, but times are getting weirder and weirder. Just in the world, a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff's changed. Even from the time I made these notes for this message, a lot's changed. Whether it's in the world or even in our own church here at The Remnant. Sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but it can feel like regular culture is starting to set in. What do I mean by that? That even we members, talking to you members, we're starting to let regular culture take what was special about The Remnant. We're blending in. We're not making ourselves uncomfortable anymore. We're not loving each other radically. There's a pressure, man. I don't know about you guys, but I can feel it. There's a pressure of being comfortable. It's at an all-time high when the world becomes crazy. You will fight tooth and nail to make yourself feel comfortable so you don't have to deal with anything else. Things are getting crazier, can scare you, right? But you don't want to deal with being scared. So you'll do whatever you need to do to numb yourself out and be comfortable. Whatever that looks like in your life, whether that's literal events going on, I don't know, Los Angeles fires, I don't know, anything like that. Or maybe it's just in your own life and your faith. You know there's this sin going on, but man, I want to deal with it. I want to be comfortable. My question right now is, what matters more? Does your comfort or does God's mission that you claim to have died to yourself for, by the way, you claim to have died to yourself, which one's more comfortable then? Do you matter or does his mission matter? If you're in this room today and you're saved, you claim to believe that you would rather die to yourself, crucify your flesh, and follow him. Is that more important? Or is how you feel important? You can't change everything in your life at once. You can't. Because I know that's how some of you are, because that's how I can feel sometimes too, right? You hear these messages, you hear the truth, you hear the Bible, you hear his word, you hear all these things, and you're like, man, there's so much in my life that's wrong. Maybe some of you are actually thinking right now, proud of you. Thank you for actually being here and thinking about your life. And you realize, man, there's so much I'm not doing. Man, there's so much I've got wrong. Okay, you've already taken a good step, but you can't change it all at once. But what you can do is you can surrender to God. And in your surrender to God, he can change those things one bit at a time while resting in his confession of his name. You can have 500 things going on and go, Lord, I surrender to you. And he's going, okay, I'm with you. Let's walk. Let's work on number one. He's not going, let's work on all 500 right now. He's going, let's take this one area right now. Let's work on it. That's freedom too. He's telling you, man, you don't got to clean it up. Just because you've had this moment of realizing all this crap going on in your life, it doesn't mean you got to fix it all right now. He's going, hey, you willing to follow me? You willing to surrender your life? All right, let's do something. I'm not sure who's playing music today, but someone's going to come up and play music. Americanized church culture. It's facile. It has the appearance of looking good. That's because a lot of its ugliness is ignored. That's because no one wants to deal with where they're really at. No one wants to deal with the way they live. No one wants to deal with those sins. No one wants to deal with the fact that maybe they question a lot of things. Maybe it's doubt you have. I want to remind you of something. If you struggle with doubt, if you struggle to think that God's real, if you think that God's not moving in your life, if you think he's left you, all these doubts that can run in your head, I want you to remind you this. He created the universe, man, with a word. He said, let there be light. Light. It says that the birds eat. The birds are taken care of. He created those things. But it also says he knows all the follicles on your head because he made you. You know what that means? That's a God that knows you. He cares about you. That's your Father. You got these doubts going on? Man, he loves you. He created you. He made you. And all he wants you to do is come back. Hey, maybe you've wandered off a couple miles. Maybe you've wandered off 10 feet. But either way, we wander. And you know what's cool? It doesn't matter if you're 10 feet or 2 miles. He doesn't look at you differently. He just has to go a little farther more out for the 2 mile people. But he still sweeps you up and brings you back and goes, hey, let's get going again. Remember who I am. God isn't mad at you. It doesn't matter if maybe you've claimed to be a Christian your whole life up into this moment and say you're not. I know that's uncomfortable. Maybe you've played the part like I talked about. Maybe you've sat here for years, whether it's in our church, maybe it's in another church. You sat for years and you actually never really believed this, but you've looked the part. People think you're Christian. I'm telling you right now, if that's true, if anyone in here, if that's you today, man, you got a cool opportunity. And I'll tell you why. Because no one here is going to look at you different. There will be nothing but celebration. I don't care if there's someone in here that I've known for 8 years. If you came up here today and said, I actually never believed this whole time, but today I confess and I believe in this and I give my life to Christ, man, I will be in celebration with you. I'm not going to sit here and think about the previous 8 years that I thought you were, because that doesn't matter. You know what matters? Your eternity. That's all I care about, man. If that's you today, man, I want you to really think about that. Eternity is a long time. It's forever. I'm going to tell you the gospel. It's the most important message you'll ever hear. It's the most important message that you can ever tell someone in this life. And that's why we have to be on mission, by the way. Believers, anybody in this room who claims the name of Christ, man, you need to start telling people the gospel. Like I said, man, times are getting weird. We never know how much time we have left. Whether it's the world or your life, you don't know. Man, did someone tell you about him and that's why you're here in these seats today? Did someone tell you the gospel? Did someone play a part in literally saving your eternity? Why don't you do that for somebody else? Anyways, this is the gospel. God created everything. He created it perfect. He made you and I. He breathed life in the dust. He made Adam, and that's us now. He loves us. He lived in perfect relationship with us. We walked with him every day. He created Eve. We walked. Sin did not exist. Everything was perfect. Everything was good. And you know what's cool? This is proof to know that he loves you so much, is that when he created everything else, he said it was good. But when he created us, he said it's very good. So we walked. And somewhere along the line, man, he said, hey, let me be God. Let me tell you what's good and bad. Let me tell you that this tree of knowledge of good and evil, man, it's not good. Just follow me. Don't eat from that tree. Well, we did. We decided to be God. And in that moment, we became separated from God. God is perfect. God cannot be a part of everything that's not perfect. So in that moment, humanity became imperfect. So he couldn't be with us anymore. So we were separated. And now, I don't know about you guys, but you can look back at even history. If anybody likes history, you can look in even in the world today. But humanity separated from God's pretty ugly. We do a lot of horrible things. And it's only gotten worse and worse and worse since that day. Thousands of years later, it's gotten worse. So now, we're separated. And then a miracle happened. The biggest miracle that you'll ever hear. He, God, came down in the flesh himself, Jesus Christ. Jesus is real. He existed. He lived in this world. He lived a perfect life. Not a single sin committed. He taught us how to live life. He told us how to worship. He told us how to follow God. And he was God. He is God. He is. I am. That's what he said, I am. He lived a perfect sinless life. And then he told the truth. He told us what we were. He said, you guys are sinners. He said, you guys need me. And we said, whoa, we need God, not you. And he's like, well, I am God. So you know what we did? We killed him. We hung him on a cross. He died a horrible death, crucifixion. Look into it, it's the worst way to die, especially in those times, man. That was the worst way to die. We crucified him, hung him on a cross. He died. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And in that moment, when Jesus came back and he rose from the dead, he overcame death. And when he overcame death in that moment, he did the most miraculous thing. He made a way for you to be back in a relationship with God again. Because in order to be restored back to something, something needed to be sacrificed. That's why we call him the perfect lamb. He was the perfect sacrificial lamb. He took your sin in exchange for his death and then rose again so that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're back in relationship with God. And what does that mean to be back in relationship with God? That means that life isn't over after you die. There's an eternity after this. And there's only two places to go. And God said, you put your faith in my son, Jesus Christ, you will be saved forever.
Amen.
How do you do that? You confess with your lips. You believe in your heart. Believe. That's what I've been telling you this whole time. You gotta believe. He doesn't tell you to look a certain way. He doesn't tell you that you can't be drunk. He doesn't tell you you can't smoke. He doesn't tell you that you can't be addicted to drugs. You can't be addicted to pornography. He doesn't say any of that. He says, hey, Are you willing to look past all that and say that you believe in me and you don't want to be that way anymore? Follow me. Put your faith in me, and you are saved. If you're willing to say something, most of the time, you believe in it. Especially this. It's a big choice. It's a big decision. This is what I'll tell you today. I don't know where any of you are at. If you don't know him, when you decide who Jesus Christ is, it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Whether you decide that he's real and that he is the Son of God and you put your faith in him, or if you decide to reject him. Either way, it's the biggest decision you'll ever make. So I suggest you take it serious. Take this time seriously. If you want that today, I don't care if you've been coming to this church for 8 years. I don't care if this is your first day here. I don't care if this is you're just a visitor, whatever it is. Today, you can be free. Today, you can know where you're going after all this. It's eternity after this. Sometimes we have a hard time comprehending that. It's forever. It doesn't end. And there's only two places to go, and one's good and one's bad. If you want to go to the good place, you need to put your faith in Christ today. And you know what's cool? Is he doesn't promise everything's going to be better. I know that sounds weird, but it's actually because, once again, like unlike all these other religions, he tells you the truth. He says, listen, you put your faith in me, life's actually probably going to get harder. You put your faith in me, man, I'm going to make you really uncomfortable. But this is what I can tell you, that if you believe in me, you believe I'm real, then you can believe it's good. It's good for you. And even though it seems like all this discomfort makes no sense, even though it seems like everything you're making me do, and it doesn't make any sense for it to be good because it's not what I want, at the end of the day, he knows you better than you know yourself. And I'm telling you right now, as a guy who lived 20 years not knowing who he was, I promise you this, there's a peace that transcends understanding. That's a verse for those of you that don't know that. It says there's a peace, when you have faith in Christ, there's a peace that transcends understanding. You can't even understand why you feel okay. You know all that weight you feel in life? Whether it's, man, I don't know about you guys, but for me it's time. Time messes with me. I tell myself I'm not afraid to die, but I'm starting to wonder if I am afraid to die because of how much I think about time. But you know what? I believe in Christ, and I know that. I know where I'm going. And even though that could be literally 5 minutes from now, who knows what could happen? You can die at any time. But you know what's awesome? Is you have right now. You have this moment. So wherever you're at, whether you don't believe, you can put your faith in him now, man, and you're secured forever. He says, you can never take those who are in my hand. They can never escape from me. You can't take them. It doesn't matter what someone tells you. If you put your faith in Christ, man, no one can take it from you. Nobody. No person, no government, no company, nothing. Nobody can take it from you. But you have to make that decision today. And for those of you that are believers, for those of you who know, you know where you're at, you know where you're going, man, Where's your fire? We always command, it's funny, you know, me being a Christian for 9 years now, I get it. Where's that new believer fire? I'm asking myself that. Where's that guy who didn't care about what people thought? Where's that guy who didn't care if he even felt dangerous to do something? Who's the guy who didn't care that his family was confused about it? Where's the guy who was so willing to tell people, man, you're so loved, dude. Man, I want to tell you about a guy. His name's Christ. His name's Jesus. Where is that? That feeling of peace, man. That as soon as you accepted it, you knew something was different. You felt lighter. Something changed. Man, where is that fire at? Do you love people? Do you actually love people? And the reason why I ask that is not to make you feel down, to beat yourself up. The reason why I ask is because, man, This is why I love God, dude. He knows what's going to fulfill you after you're saved. He's going, trust me, I made you. You want to follow me? I know how to feed you. So if you're a believer here today, man, trust him. Trust him and do what he's telling you to do. Even if it's against everything that you want to do, if it's your own comfort, if it's your shame, I don't care what it is, man. Man, just cast it aside. Just get through it, man. I know it's a wall, but punch through it today. And then don't just make it a Sunday attitude. Man, make it a lifestyle. This is life. This is not a game. This is life. Here and after. You're loved. Every single one of you. I don't know where you're at. Again, I don't know if you whether you believe this or not, but I can tell you this much. Either way, whether you don't believe, you can have that peace and freedom today. And if you do believe, you can have that peace and freedom today. It's just about what you need to come up here and do. I left the confessions verse up there last for a reason. Because there's all these things that we justify, all these things we do. Well, guess what? You can make a good confession today. And you can live free. Take this time serious. This is altar time. There's going to be people up here to pray for you. Don't leave here the same. We say it all the time. Todd says it every single week, and it's so true. If you walk out of here the same way, you choose it. There's no circumstance. There's no excuses. You choose that. So be different today. Thank you guys very much.